This is 98.1 FM, Raglan Community Radio, Irirangi o Whangaroa. Hello, kia ora. My name is Jason. I teach holistic health and healing, and welcome to Your Health, Your Choice, a show that guides you on your healing journey, helping you choose your own healing path. And today, to help us on that path, we have Joanna Walden. Is that Walden?
Yep, Walden. That's the one.
Not Walden. Is it European? Like a lot of W's and V's.
I wish I was more exotic than New Zealand, but I'm not.
So I wanted to have you on the show to talk about the spiritual side of life, the energy side of things, the metaphysical side of things. But just to start off, how did you get into this? Like, what is your background? What got you looking through life using this perspective of spirit and energy?
Yeah. So thanks, Jason. It's so nice to be here and thank you for having me. I have been on this journey literally my whole life. My mum was quite spiritual, actually. She had a very different perspective from my dad, who was very much a stereotypical working guy in advertising and living the corporate life. So they were a bit like chalk and cheese. And my mum was always interested in a different, more expanded view of life and health and well-being. I remember in the 80s, she used to drag us to the health shop and get tofu for a mung bean casserole that we all just loathed. But now I look back at it thinking, oh, she was quite ahead of her time, really.
She sounds like a hippie.
Yeah. So definitely there was that influence for sure, because I grew up in a family that, you know, that was okay. It wasn't anything wrong with it. And I just had a natural inclination towards it myself. So I was always exploring and wanting to have expanding experiences. I knew there was something else, like deep within me. I knew I was here for something, and it wasn't really what I was doing or what was playing out as I was just going through life. And so it did set me off on, you know, once I got into the corporate working life after I'd finished all my, you know, uni work and school and all that kind of stuff. I was in this fabulous career in advertising on the corporate treadmill. It was creative. It was fun. It was just, you know, travel and all this great stuff. But there was something in me. It was like, oh, you know, this is not it. And despite earning tons of money and it being a great job and climbing that ladder, I just thought, yeah, there's something missing for me. And was something on a deep level of my heart and soul. And so I said, you know, I'd always been living this double life, sort of in New York, corporate, hardcore working, 24/7 treadmill, and, you know, working hard to play hard type vibe. And then running off in the weekends to, you know, a spiritual retreat in upstate New York or a workshop on power animals or angels or something. And like, nobody ever knew about that. I always went on my own and I was totally living this double life. But so I was always interested reading books and researching about all of this other more extrasensory, super conscious side of life. And then once I left, I knew I wanted to do something in my career that was more purposeful, more in alignment with my passion, because I just didn't want to be cycling through life and feeling that lack that I felt within me. Yeah, so it's been ingrained in me since I can remember, really.
So what made you break away or move away from corporate? Or was it like a final straw, or was there some awakening?
I explored in many ways, and that's, you know, I wrote my book about it, The Inside Hustle, A Mystical Misfits Travel Adventure into the Unknown. So that's the story of my personal journey of evolution. But the Comedy of Errors version, it's very much like Bridget Jones meets Eat, Pray, Love on steroids, although that makes it sound quite feminine when tons of my guy friends absolutely love it. But this was me sort of going through like, okay, what else is there? I did that walk across Spain, the Camino to Santiago, which follows the ley lines and the Milky Way. And I just wanted to be zapped with all this energy so that I would figure out what the hell it was that I was here for. And, you know, I'd never done any hiking before, by the way, let alone over 900 Ks across the north of Spain. But I didn't have the spiritually enlightening experiences at all that I wanted. It was complete opposite. It was just hilarious. And so I moved to London after that to give me more expansion and possibilities in the career. And I wasn't tied by a visa as I was in the States. But I just started, you know, training in different things, exploring life coaching, exploring different healing modalities. I trained in kinesiology. You know, I was doing all sorts of little bits and pieces, and none of it was really landing deeply within me. And there wasn't that light bulb moment really, but I did decide at one point, I was like, you know what? Maybe I should just write about this whole journey, because maybe this would help other people. Because I found there was lots of red herrings along the way, and lots of things sort of, I thought I was doing the right thing energetically and spiritually, right in quotes, but I was actually just further sort of disempowering myself, which I wasn't really conscious of at the time. But as I continued through this process, it became really clear my understanding of energy and my natural way of viewing the world really landed it deeply within me, how a lot of what was out there wasn't really helping someone like me. And I wanted to make sure that other people didn't fall into these same traps and get sort of into these dead end streets that go nowhere on the spiritual journey, basically. And so that's what I'm quite passionate about, is this journey back to the true self, our divine essence, and who and what we really are above and beyond or below or inside this personality version of ourself that's kind of, you know, having this human experience, but the real essence behind us and this version of the mastery that we brought to this planet for this particular time right now.
Yeah, you sound like a very curious person. Trying curious many different things.
Definitely one word for it.
Well, I'm the same way. I've learned, you know, I started off really being interested in video games and computing, so I got a degree in computer science. But you know, my throughout that whole time I had health issues, and finally my curiosity got so much that I wanted to know what the doctor knew or didn't know, because they told me that they couldn't help me. And then I, you know, got into different diets and different this and different that, and eventually that health side went into a spiritual side. And just, yeah, it's just amazing how,
well, it's all interconnected, you know, right? You can't look at one and solidarity really out of the other. You can't look at one thing without the other, because everything is so intricately connected within our fields. So our emotions, our thoughts, our the physicality of, you know, us, and also the spiritual and etheric levels of our being as well, where some of this energy is sitting. Because we're not just dealing with the energy of this life right now. We, I believe, have been in many places. Like when I went to Egypt, I remembered being there in another time. I remembered, and people recognized me. They're like, I remember you from 3,000 years ago. I was like, say what? But, you know, that kind of thing happens. And I have a deep knowing that this isn't my only incarnation here at all. And so what's happening is, in this every now moment that we're experiencing in this particular life right now, we have got influences from all sorts of different aspects of ourself that we've carried through in potentially multiple lifetimes, maybe hundreds, maybe even thousands, you know. So there comes to be a point where you recognize it's not just about like the story that you've got going on right now in your life. There's layers underneath it that potentially are nothing to do with that, but are an orchestration of energy that you are using for a particular, or having to work through or understand for a particular purpose right now for you in this moment. So it kind of brings it full circle, but sometimes that's why this reality can be totally confusing.
Yeah, it's like the cause and effect, right? There's all these infinite number of causes that have brought you to this effect now in this moment.
Yeah.
And like there's so many layers, like what you're talking about. We can talk about how there is no time. We can talk about how we're all just the same energy. So maybe we're living all the lives at the same time. There's like so many ways you can go with what you just said.
Totally. You know, it's like simultaneous. Everything is happening simultaneously. That's what I mean. It's all coming together in this one moment. All of the other aspects from parallel realities, or some people refer to them as past lives or whatever, but it's all an energetic imprint that is active, if it's activating for you in that moment, for some kind of recognition, for some kind of activation of a, or remembrance of a deeper part of you. Or, you know, I've been remembering a lot of other stuff about myself energetically, especially over these last couple of years that have been so intense for everybody, but so purposeful, you know. And I always believe that, you know, everything is happening for us, not to us, as a lot of us know by now. And so it's all an opportunity for us to come into even more self-realization. And, you know, part of that is clearing away the stuff that's, you know, outdated and old programming that's not really working anymore, and upgrading and updating our new software and new programming and building that in, so that we're really actually coming full circle into the true self of who we are, so that we can show up as the best version of us that we're meant to be, you know, that magnificent light that we all carry within ourselves, no matter what you're doing or what your vocation is or how you're showing up on the planet, you know.
Yeah, so Bruce Lee speaks to that, how when you're, you know, learning something, learning a skill or anything, just keep what works and disregard what doesn't work or doesn't resonate. And I think, I forget who it was, but, you know, when you're making a sculpture, you're not, you're chipping away at what isn't needed. So the sculpture is there within the rock already. It's not about carving to make the sculpture, it's to get rid of what isn't needed, and the sculpture will appear on its own. And it's kind of like us, like you say, like we come into this life and it's not about learning things. We just have to remember who we are and why we're here, because we're already here fully realized. We just Definitely. Forget that as a child. And then our environment, our parents, our teachers, whatever, yes. they sort of block and become obstacles to who we really are. And it's up to us to strip away all that stuff.
Yes, Jason, you're speaking my language there. Like, I, you know, it's a process of, I sort of like, you know, we're going through excavation. We're just getting all the stuff out of the way that's in the way of our recognition of our true essence, you know, and we pick it up from everywhere, as you say, family, education, society, blah, blah, all the things. And it's a deprogramming rather than anything else, so that we can remember fully who we are and show up as that. And that's what I do with my clients. And that's what really excites me. And it's about going even beyond now for me, any current understanding or accepted constructs of reality, because literally everything we're seeing and interpreting is based on a construct that's gone before. And so that's a space of the old. It's a space of limitation, really. And I see such an amazing potential for us, even though everyone might look around and be like, what are you talking about? The world's going to hell in a handbasket. But I don't believe that at all. And, you know, we have this incredible opportunity to really quantum leap into a new state of the divine human being. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, there's just so many places I want to go.
And the science is supporting that as well, you know. It's
you were talking about
supporting all that. So we've got like guys like Greg Braden and Nassim Haram and from the Resonance Science Foundation, and, you know, Dr. Bruce Lipton and even Joe Dispenza. All of those guys are really tapping into the fact that, you know, our actual human technology is made to be this functioning. Is actually made to function in a way that's outside of where we currently at. We've got the coding, we've got the base technology there. We just need to activate it within us, really. And we aren't like any other species on this
planet. Like an animal in a zoo and a bird in a cage. We're a bird and we're in a cage, and we're not allowed to fly to our full potential. We're not allowed to reach the actual heights that we can. Because what you were saying before about getting rid of old constructs, you can talk about that biologically speaking with your eyes and how the brain works. The brain only sees things based on what you've seen in the past and what you've made that mean in the past. So everything you're sensing and feeling and tasting, everything is your brain comparing, or your nervous system comparing what this experience is compared to a past experience.
Exactly.
It's all it's doing. It's all in the past. It's not actually looking at what it is now.
No.
And even with science, when science is measuring things, it's taking a snapshot. So when, you know, scientists like to talk about photons, well, there's no such thing as a photon. There's just a wave of light. But when you take a measurement, a snapshot, there's a photon. But that doesn't exist in reality. It's just a construct that isn't real. Yet this is what we talk about in science, photons this and atoms that. But everything is moving and in motion. So,
and so
getting rid of these...
The idea of science in itself is a limited construct.
Yeah, science is one way to look at the world, not the way, it's a way. Yeah,
definitely. And, you know, we're all sort of being guided and shoved and pushed to loosen our attachment to those kinds of foundations in this life. Because as you say, otherwise we are constantly on Groundhog Day because we're looking through this lens that's informed by everything that's ever gone before, previous understanding, previous accepted constructs of reality, previous, you know, everything. And that's really not going to allow us to be the full expression of who we are if we're continuing to do the same thing over and over again.
And not just being who you are, but being able to experience the fullness of life in reality. And you know, a good example of this would be food. Like, someone's made a dish for you as a child, you've hated it, it's totally disgusting, you'll never eat it again. But then when you're 30, you know, it's the same dish, but maybe your taste buds have changed, maybe you're changed, maybe your body needs this nutrition, whatever it is. But are you going to try it? Are you going to give it a go? Are you going to let that past hold you back, you know? Like, for me, there was a time where I would eat coriander and it would taste like soap. That's when I was very, very sick, though. So I changed my diet, changed my lifestyle, and all of a sudden, now I love coriander.
Yeah.
Right? It actually tastes nice to me. And they say it's part of your genes and all this. Well, your genes are simply on and off switches based on what's happening in your environment. So I changed my environment to change how my taste buds react to coriander. Mm-hmm. And you know, this is just food I'm talking about. Imagine, like, how you are in relationships, how you are with yourself, and, you know, all those brain, what is it? Like you said, programming. It's all programming.
It's all programming. There's so much of it. And I love taking people into that space where they start recognizing that, because it's so, you know, ground into us that we cease to really see it and we don't even really realize. And then you start having people make, you know, the impossible possible. And that starts happening on the daily. And it's like, hold a minute. You know, I don't have to, like, you know, just because supposedly the housing market's really bad, I don't have to not sell my house or not get the price I want for it, because it's only because we're buying into an accepted construct that is happening for us. And we are, you know, as the brain does, sources examples in alignment with our belief systems and our frequency. And so therefore it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. But when we start recognizing and going outside and beyond that and loosening our grip on all that stuff, we really get into this really cool space to play around with. And, you know, now I'm sort of playing around with frequency in a much more abstract way than I ever have. And it's really fun just to see where to go with that and what is possible, what's truly possible for us. Let's push the boundaries.
Yeah. So what do you mean by that? You're talking about your personal frequency? Like,
yeah, I'm talking about, you know, if you think about the cells and the cellular intelligence, it's obviously informed in the environment and the programming. And therefore, if we can bring in abstract frequency that is outside of that, just divine source energy, basically, we can start to facilitate reprogramming of the cellular intelligence so that it's not playing out these old programs that have been lying around there, but playing out new ones as we are. If we do that enough, we are going to be aligning to that frequency and bringing that in as an embodiment and as it turns into a state of being. And so this idea of really using the cellular intelligence to our advantage, now we know so much more about it, is really fun. So I'm playing around now with sort of reverse aging stuff, which is really cool, and really using the cellular intelligence to completely reprogram myself. Because I know that that's possible. I know that we don't have to. Aging is just an agreed program. All of it is. There's so many different programs. I'm like, no, I don't really want to do that. And there's spiritual programs as well. It's just so rife everywhere. So starting to use energy technology with our divine human technology and our cellular and technology and all of that is where I'm sort of at right now, and having fun just creating new programs and exploring and seeing the results.
Is it would yoga be part of this, like the body posture and aligning yourself with those energies that way?
I guess it could be. It hasn't been my experience and what I've been playing around with right now. But that's because I'm working more in it with really consciousness, frequency, energy, cellular technology, and heart technology, because all my work is grounded in heart technology, basically. So I've been working at it without the need for the physical aspect, although it would probably be a beautiful addition to it. Yeah.
So when you talk about these technologies, are these actual devices or are these processes?
Yeah, no, I'm talking about, you know, our body as a technology.
Oh, yeah.
An incredible technology. Heart, the heart and the heart energy is a multidimensional technology. It's not just a cardiac muscle beating in the center of our chest. You know, it is a connection to our source energy, our divine blueprint. You can use it to time travel. You can use it to connect into, it's a stargate. You connect into other stargates with it. We can use it for alchemy, purification, alignment, so many different things in this multidimensional space that goes beyond the physical understanding and physical action of things. So yeah, I'm talking about technology being a more multidimensional quantum technology, I guess, in many respects with all of these things. Because it's always energy first, right? Always.
Yes. Mm. Yeah, it's amazing you say that, because I was just thinking, like, we've got three major oscillators in the body, the brain, the gut, and the heart's the most powerful. And then I'm just thinking today, well, what's the number one cause of death in the West? It's heart disease. So it's quite interesting how there's a lot of suffering going on, and it's the heart that's being attacked in the West. And yet that's where a lot of the work needs to be done.
Well, we've lost the connection to our heart, right? So in 20...
We're up here in our heads, right?
Yes, yes. And so in 2017, these giant light beings showed up in my dreams. And I have a lot of connection with galactic beings and all sorts of crazy stuff in my dreams. And I just roll with it and, you know, and just see what happens. And anyway, these beings showed up. And, you know, I was sitting on a chair and I was looking up at these giant light beings. And I was saying, what about this healing modality? And they said, no. And I was like, well, what about this ancient meditation technique? And they're like, no. And I was like, but what about? And they cut me off. And they said, it is all about heart technology. Heart technology is the most relevant and effective tool on the planet right now. It has always been about the heart. It always is about the heart. And it will only ever be about the heart. It's all about heart technology. So I woke up thinking, what the hell's heart technology? I'd never even heard of anything like that. Of course, I went immediately to Google, Googled it. And like a bunch of cardiac equipment came up. Nothing remotely like what I was looking for. Eventually, I sort of came across the Institute of Heart Math and all of the work that they've been doing over the last 30 years into heart-brain coherence and amazing stuff. But I then was taken on sort of like a vision quest over a few years to really understand heart technology and the full meaning of that. And then that was the missing piece for me, because I was such a head person. I was like overanalyzing everything. I was so in the head all the time and I couldn't, I couldn't meditate.
I could totally relate.
It was so, and I know that's a lot of people's issues. So I want to just say there is hope and get into a little bit of heart coherence and you'll find that energy shift really, really quickly. But then it just opened up into all these other ways that you could use this heart technology in so many cool ways. And so I've been exploring that for the last while. And I think that's actually going to level up into a next iteration of that for me and understanding, which is already starting to sort of percolate and come through with what I've been experiencing over the last, 6 months or a year. But yeah, really funny, the heart technology. But so relevant for everybody. I mean, I've never felt such a technique so quickly give me a visceral feeling of the overactive energy of my head coming down and sinking into the center of my chest and bringing me into an immediate state of calm. And this is within 3 to 5 minutes. So it's pretty profoundly effective. And there's a ton of research behind it. So I highly recommend everyone sort of tap into that at a minimum. It's a really fun place to be. And the thing is with that, the more you do heart coherence, even if it's 3 to 5 minutes a day, the more you feel in a loving, harmonious state. It has a cumulative effect. And then suddenly I was like bursting into these states of orgasmic love bombs for life and everyone in it. And in the most bizarre places, not even anything related to doing the technique itself, but like, you know, cleaning the house or just making some food or whatever. And it's just a really, yeah, it's a profoundly life-changing technique, I feel.
So it's changing your perspective of your experience of life. It's perhaps changing how your past constructs, are you finding yourself more easier? It's easier for you to detach from the past and to detach yourself from what comes up in you, emotionally. You're able to sort of
definitely
give yourself time.
Definitely, because you are bringing in a sense of harmony. It's sort of facilitating a sense of homeostasis within you. It's balancing the emotion. It's reducing stress. It's providing a deeper wisdom and a level of connection to yourself that you might not be feeling all the time before embarking on such a practice. But it's quite game changing for many people. And I highly recommend just it, because it can take you to so many places. It's the answer to quite a lot of things, which is handy, because I love quick, short tools and techniques that are highly impactful that shift the needle.
You have to be consistent in practicing them, right? It's not a one and done. It's continuous.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's like with anything, actual change. Like, people come to me to know how to change their lives, right? But most people don't know how. And so change, I think people want to believe it's one big thing that's going to change their life. Like, maybe they need to solve this within themselves or clear this trauma or find their purpose or whatever. But that's not really how it works. Change is the addition of lots of little shifts and tweaks and changes within ourselves, adding up to bigger change. And then suddenly we're feeling totally different to how we were, a week or a month ago. And we are having a different experience in our reality because we are shifting ourselves. So it's changes is really the culmination of small little shifts and changes we do within ourselves. Yeah.
Well, there's the idea that how you do one thing is how you do everything. So if the first thing you do when you wake up is make your bed or, have some water or do some breathing, just being conscious of doing something, taking an action. And it may seem like a small action, but the fact that you're conscious in doing it, and that consciousness will shift over into other aspects of your life throughout the whole day.
Mm-hmm.
So what, like you're saying, any change, even if it's just bending over to pick up some rubbish you've seen outside, that one change just in yourself. Oh, so I'm the person that picks up stuff, right? It's like an identity that you can shift and change to align yourself with your goals. But in a lot of issues that people, I find that they don't actually have an idea of the values that they have, and they don't even have an idea of what goals that they want. Is that something you work through with people?
Yeah, definitely. And I think many people come to me seeking one thing, and then it turns out that they have a whole different experience of themselves with me. Because when we come back into a connection with your true self, when you come into understanding yourself and how you are within yourself, and the connection to your experience of people and this reality and circumstances and all of it, when you really start to understand the mechanics of the connection between all of that, then you are able to up-level yourself and your experience, and you have a whole different thing going on. And so it's about achieving goals, and but it's always becomes more than that. It's much, much more expansive experience. Yeah.
Well, it's the how as why, isn't it? Like, how, okay, now you know what, now time for the how. And perhaps you even need a why to keep you moving toward that what.
Absolutely. And we have to reprogram ourselves, but we also have to clear away all that old stuff that's been lying around a little bit too. So
I think that's the better advice for me. So when I tell someone about changing a diet, for me, it's first remove. It's not about adding, just remove. I think people will find that their body, because if you look at all the diets, what's the one thing in common? They remove the same things. They may add and have a different macronutrient ratio, but you'll see every single one of them removes refined sugar, for example. Okay. I can do that. So for me, it's about removing first, right? Remove the poison so that you, so that the medicine works once you start taking it. Yeah.
Yeah. We have to create space. If we want to start to do things a different way, we have to sort of clear out or make peace and completely love and accept parts of ourselves that has had discordant energy or a push-pull frequency within us that is causing disruption and sabotage within our own being. And so when we were able to really start to really take some care and attention to the finer aspects of our being and everything that makes up us and the totality of our frequency, then we can start to, you know, shift anything out of the way that's not working, start to bring in some more self-awareness and self-realization and aha moments and consciousness shifts. And sometimes all it takes is a shift in awareness and boom, something's done. It doesn't have to be this really hard process of digging, you know, out the skeletons of the closet at all. And it's much, much lighter now that we are, you know, 50 years ago, different story, but now where everything is so much quicker and easier and it can be really fun and light. It doesn't have to be traumatic and hard. And so, yeah, I think there's definitely that beautiful process that we can all go through to continue our evolution. I'm still doing it myself. It's never, you know, it's not really a finite point in all this.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like when you, like, you know, a lot of people have trauma and they want to get rid of their trauma. But to me, it's more about transforming it and integrating it and learning to dance and sing with it. Because it, you had that experience for a reason.
Absolutely.
You know, it didn't happen to you. And I know some people say it happened for you. For me, it happened. Now it's up to you. Did it happen to you or for you? You get to choose.
Yeah.
It's happened. Now what? And that's where the power lies in every single human. At any moment, you get to choose.
Yeah. And in the energetics of it, you know, when you're trying to get rid of it, you're trying to disassociate from it. So energetically, you're sort of in resistance of it. And what do we know about resistance? What we resist persists. And so that's going to come back at you energetically in some way, shape, or form, or it's going to be really, really hard to let go of.
Yeah.
So we have to understand the way energy works like this and how sometimes we're unconsciously getting more of what we don't want by not sort of understanding where we are, the way that we are creating these energetic patterns within us that is meaning we're experiencing a certain type of life or a loop. Sometimes we get into these loops, you know, and experience the same thing as our dad, to our coworker, to our boss, to their flatmate or whatever, you know. But that's where we want to unpick some of that stuff and just free it up a little bit and recognize what needs to be moved on from so that we can start to create a new and know ourselves in a different, more expansive version of ourselves.
Yeah. Do you think it's possible to fully love someone else if you don't fully love yourself?
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. I think you do have to have the absolute love of self. And a lot of people, that's a wound, you know, they're really throwing love at other people. And the kind of love that is sort of more the stereotypical love rather than actually true divine cosmic love that is this unconditional frequency of source that, you know, if we're really in alignment with that, we know that we don't even need anything outside of us and we're always going to have enough love to overflow into all of our relationships. And it's based on a really more balanced giving and receiving and not a need, so to speak, which is another kind of wounding that plays into, again, an energetic sort of domino effect that allows us, we get to experience a certain kind of relationship, but it's not going to be really in the greatest empowerment or alignment with us because we're coming from this place of need.
Yeah. Love doesn't need everything. Love is everything.
No,
yeah.
Right.
We're once you understand it
as well.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, exactly.
It's about just getting those things out of the way that make us think that we're not it, or we've been conditioned into believing we're not it, or told we're not it, or whatever. Yeah.
There's that divine spark in you that's just wanting to be set free. So, which is what you help people do.
That's exactly right. It's my favorite thing to do.
Yeah, that was awesome. Thanks, Joanne. What is your website? Where can people find you? How can they work with you?
Yeah, you can find me at joannawalden.com. So that's WALDEN and Joanna with two A's. But and The Inside Hustle, my book, is on Amazon. It's on tons of other platforms. It's in most bookshops as well around New Zealand. So feel free to check it out. And Yeah, I'm on social media as well at I am Joanna Walden on Instagram and Facebook. So come say hi. I'd love to hear from anyone who's interested in hearing more or just having a yarn or whatever.
Always lovely to have yarns, especially with people like you who talk deep and
I
big.
I feel like we could be yarning for quite a while, Jason. We wouldn't run out of things to talk about, that's for sure.
Thanks, Joanna. Catch you next time.
Cheers.
Thank you again, Joanna. That was such a fun chat. I really enjoyed that conversation. The work you do with helping people develop and expand their technological prowess and their body, mind, soul is much needed in the world today. If you'd like to work with Joanna, do look her up on her website, and you can also discover her book there, The Inside Hustle. And that's it for me. So until next time, stay free, be yourself, know that you are loved, and that you are love. Kia kaha.